This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Economists say today's financial crisis report may be too little, too late.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. At more than 500 pages, the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission report hits the internet and bookstores today. The published synopsis points to several big triggers to the financial crisis. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is with us from New York to talk about what's in this report. Good morning, Elisa.
Good morning.
We've all talked about the crisis, obviously. What's new in this report?
Well, the book talks a lot about how much people get paid. On the one hand, there's the fact that the regulators had trouble recruiting finance people to work for them because, newsflash here, Wall Street pays so much better than the government. The other issue, though, is the idea that the way pay was structured actually encouraged people on Wall Street to take really big risks. I talked to Andrew Orringer this morning. He works on compensation issues at the law firm Ropes & Gray.
I think there is a concern that the incentives in the compensation systems did not align the interests of the institutions with the interests of the individuals.
In other words, the person making the deal would still get paid even if he or she were putting the bank at risk.
So, Elisa, will this report actually have any effect?
In terms of legislation, a lot of that was already passed with the financial reform bill. But a lot of how it'll actually work in real life still needs to be figured out. I talked to Matt Slaughter this morning. He's Associate Dean of the Tuck School of Business at Dartmouth. And he says it's things like,
what data are going to be monitored by financial companies, how particular aspects of the law will actually be implemented, and what that'll mean for the practice of the individual firms and the overall financial system.
And for all of those issues, it'll be really useful to understand what caused the crisis.
Marketplace's Elisa Roth reporting from snowy New York City this morning. Elisa, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The S&P off about a tenth of a percent. The NASDAQ up about a tenth of a percent. The Dow off 9 points at 11,976, below that 12,000 mark again. The number of people seeking unemployment benefits rose last week by 51,000. A lot of the increase from the Northeast snowstorms. And the National Association of Realtors reports the number of people who have contracts to buy homes was up in December. There's also a report out this morning that says home foreclosures fell in half of the nation's biggest metropolitan areas. Real estate data firm Realty Track issued its year-end foreclosure report. Does that mean the housing market's out of the woods? Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer.
When I first saw the Realty Track report, I thought, hey, things are looking up. Foreclosures in Southern California's major cities fell by at least 17%. Las Vegas, down 7%. Then I talked to Rick Sharga, Senior Vice President of Realty Track.
We can't interpret too positive a spin on that just yet.
Sharga says foreclosure rates only fell because of artificial forces. Some banks declared a moratorium on foreclosures after the scandal over shoddy paperwork. Sharga says others are just too busy to launch any new foreclosures.
The lenders and servicers may just be stuffed to the gills with distressed properties already on their books and already in the foreclosure pipeline.
One bit of genuine good news? Sharka says loans made in the last year or so have a less than 1% chance of foreclosure, so things should stabilize once we get through the backlog. But Sharka doesn't expect that to happen until 2013. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
We got this week the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office report of just how much the government's budget deficits will add up to. That number, nearly $1.5 trillion for fiscal 2011. The Associated Press did an analysis of what the CBO report and of what it entails and looked at the Social Security program. And the AP says Social Security will pay out more than it takes in this year and will keep running deficits for the foreseeable future. Now, the program was expected to show a surplus for at least the next few years. Gene Sterley is a former Treasury Department official and a senior fellow at the Urban Institute. He's with us from Washington this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I thought these deficits weren't expected, at least for a few more years. Why is Social Security running out of money even now?
Social Security has always been basically a pay-as-you-go system. By pay-as-you-go, what I mean is essentially the money that's come into the system has always pretty much been paid out. From about the mid-1980s until today, taxes were just slightly in excess of the spending. And that's because mainly the baby boomers were fully into the working population and hadn't yet retired. And now that we've moved into recession and revenues are down, the baby boomers are starting to retire. All of a sudden, that period of surplus is gone by the wayside.
I'm 40 years old right now. What does this mean for me and others who are my age or even younger? Will there be Social Security around when I retire?
Social Security is going to be there for everyone in the future. The only question is whether the growth rates they've built into it will continue. However, you won't get the promised benefits that you've got under current law because the current system basically has trouble supporting that. Our tax rates are going to have to go up a lot on you and your kids.
What does this mean for the budget deficit?
In the short run, we've been spending far beyond our means for some time. In Social Security, we've never saved enough to deal with the long-term issues of the baby boomers retiring, as well as the continued growth in health costs. So those issues are sort of merging. And meanwhile, in the rest of the budget, we've been collecting far fewer revenues than the amount of spending that we're doing.
Gene Sterley, a senior fellow at the Urban Institute, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And finally, there's a big battle brewing in Dallas for the Super Bowl, not just between the Steelers and Packers, though. City and cab drivers are fighting over a policy that allows natural gas taxis to cut in line at one of the city's airports. The city says the policy is a way to fight air pollution, but regular cabbies are threatening a big boycott. So if you think about it, fewer cabs equals less pollution. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. On Twitter at Radio Chio, this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The biggest landfill in this country is going to be filled to the brim in just 2 years. It's not like we're going to run out of trash by then, so what to do?
You're literally throwing money and energy into a big pit in the ground. There are dollars in trash. Trash is energy.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. We're talking trash, the day's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.